You're listening to Limelight, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League. Here's your host, Emily Kalishewski.
Oh, we'll get started here. Once again, we're kind of got a special podcast here today. I am Matt Bach, Director of Communications at the Michigan Municipal League, and you have stumbled upon my podcast with the Michigan Municipal League called Michigan Politics, huh? That's the name of it. And I'm also joined by our Limelight podcast host, Emily Kalishewski. Did
yes,
I say that right?
You did. Nice work.
Thank you. Thank you. So, and Emily and I are very honored to be joined by two of our outstanding members. We're joined here by Burton Mayor Paula Zelenko. I hope I said that right.
You did. Right on.
And also Sterling Heights City Manager Mark Vanderpool. And that both of them are being honored by the Michigan Municipal League. We'll talk a little bit about that. But let's just kind of jump in. Start with you, Mayor Zelenko. Oh, you are getting, with the Michigan Municipal League, the Michael A. Guido Leadership and Public Service Award by the Michigan Municipal League. So this is, for those who don't know, it's basically an award that celebrates a chief elected official who personifies professionalism and leadership and is dedicated to the citizens of their community and advocates on their behalf in Lansing and Washington, D.C. So it's a lot of big mouthful, a lot of important words there. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, your experience in Burton. You've been, you know, mayor, and I think on city council a long time. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I was first elected to the city council in 1991.
Wow.
Served about three terms there, and then went on to the state legislature for did my 6 years in the state legislature.
So
and
you were a state representative?
I was.
Yeah.
I was, and then came back as a city council person in 2008, and in 2011 was elected mayor because our mayor then, Charles Smiley, went on to be a state representative.
So a lot of flip-flopping.
So we kind of like traded offices.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to know, since your time in the legislature, what changes have you seen as far as the legislative landscape in general or campaigns? What have you seen since your time in the legislature?
Oh,
what's different?
I think everybody's more angry these days. They're just more angry. You can't agree to disagree anymore.
Yeah, you know, I mean, everything's very black and white, isn't
right,
it?
Right, right. When I was in the legislature, you could have friends across the aisle and actually go to dinner with them, you know, and have good conversations. And no one held your opinion against you. You know, you just had a certain view and your own philosophies, whatever side of the aisle that you were on. But now you can't even have a discussion anymore. It's not about agreeing to disagree. It's about tearing each other down.
Oh.
And that's horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's horrible.
Mark, you've been a long time city manager in Sterling Heights. How long have you been there?
I have been in Sterling Heights now as city manager 15 years, a little bit beyond the average for city
managers. But you've been city manager elsewhere, right?
Yeah, I've been in the city management profession now for over 33 years.
Wow.
So yeah, I'm getting old,
and
for sure.
And Paula talked about kind of the changes she sees in politics as an elected official. What kind of impact does that have on you as someone trying to run a community? Does that affect you at that level when there's such divisiveness?
Well, Matt, it certainly does. I mean, we certainly deal with the state legislature all the time. You know, we see the strong partisanship there, and it's really hard to work through macro issues, you know, when you can't come to some sort of common ground and get people to agree to disagree on some causes, but still advance the football. So
right,
it's a challenge. I've been really blessed. I've been in communities that are incredibly stable, and that includes Sterling Heights. We're just really blessed. We have a culture of professionalism. I can't take credit for it. I mostly inherited it, but our city council is very stable, and really they're a model for how we should be getting along at the state level and the federal level. They certainly have different viewpoints, and they disagree with one another,
right,
but they do it professionally, and they're always advancing the community first. So
right,
that's what we need to be doing.
Right. And now, Mark, you're also, like Mayor Zelenko, being honored by the Michigan Municipal League. You're getting the Jim Sinclair Exceptional Service Award, which celebrates a person dedicated to public service who has shown passion and commitment to the league, enthusiastically supporting its mission and promoting its purpose. One of the things you got nominated for was kind of really being a leader, not just in Sterling Heights, but with the Michigan Municipal League and with the Michigan Municipal Executives and on a national level with the, I think it's called the International County City Managers Association.
Correct.
So why is that so important to you to kind of expand beyond the city borders and the kind of the regionalism approach that you've taken?
Well, first, Matt, if I could say it's a real honor to be considered for the award and to be even mentioned in the same company as a former council member. The late council member Jim Sinclair is truly an honor. But in this profession, you have to collaborate. You know, it's important to reach out beyond our municipal borders. It's so important to partner with other communities, with state leaders, with MML leaders. The MML has just been an incredible partner for us. We so value our membership in the MML, and we want to give back. We want to try and play a leadership role. And it's not just myself. It's our mayor and our city council. We have a strong turnout from our council members at the convention today and tomorrow. In fact, we have five of our city council members here, so they understand the value of collaboration. And so we must do that. It's a matter of survival, really. We're not going to prosper if we're not partnering and collaborating with one another and looking at the big picture beyond our communities.
Right. And Mayor Zelenko, you probably feel the same way about that, the collaboration.
Yeah, I do. You know, and like Mark said, you know, you have to have that collaboration, but sometimes getting through the politics and not only being a strong mayor form of government, right, as Burton is, you know, I'm the city manager and the politician.
Right. Not too many of those, is there?
There's not too many of those left, and we're one of the smaller ones, so it becomes a little difficult, you know, to not let one influence the other.
Yeah.
So how has your experience as a legislator kind of informed this role that you've taken on as both, politics and policy?
Well, having the knowledge of being in the legislature and knowing where I can go to get answers and where the resources are and who I can call, you know, to get those answers that we have problems with. That's been the biggest thing for us, is being able to know who to go to, understanding what the process is. If we have a request from the legislature, knowing that, you know, they're in their budget sessions right now, got to get your requests in now before they okay their budgets, those types
sure.
of things.
Sure. Interesting.
One of the things that we are here at the 2019 Michigan Municipal Capital Conference. I'm not sure when this will air, how in relation to that, but one of the sessions that we did have today, and kind of both of you guys, I think is interesting, is council manager relations. And it's kind of different. Mayor Zelenko, it's kind of different for you because you're elected official, but you're also like a strong mayor, which means you basically run the city. You still have to work with the city council. Of course, Mark, the city council is your boss. So can you both kind of take turns and talk a little bit about what's that relationship like and what do you do to kind of get through it?
I pray.
You pray. Mayor's like, I was going to go first. She prays.
I pray a lot. You know, you try to nourish those relationships and try to meet with them one-on-one, you know, and talk with them about that. But in Genesee County, in particular, politics is a blood sport,
yeah.
you know. So and with it being an election year, those things are a little tense right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How about for you, Mark? Is it a little easier, maybe?
I don't know. I think it's challenging probably in all cases. You know, in the council manager form of government, it's kind of structured off the private sector. So the mayor, in essence, is the chairman of the board, and the city council is the board of directors, city manager is the CEO. And like any great company, you know, if those three entities, individuals, don't get along and collaborate and partner, that entity is not going to succeed. So I work really hard to communicate as well as I can, as often as I can, with the city council and the mayor, and to make sure that we're on the same page, that we have meaningful strategic planning discussions, that we have meaningful budget strategy meetings, and that we're partnering and working hand in hand on issues all the time. And front and center to everything we do is our Visioning 2030 plan, which has our vision statement and our guiding principles. And every time we move an initiative forward, we make sure that it fits under the umbrella of our Visioning 2030 plan. But I really think the key And it's really pretty simple, is good communication. I think if you were to ask the city council, they would probably say, I err on the side of providing too much information, maybe inundating them, but I'd rather be criticized for that than not providing enough information. That's where I think we can really get into trouble. So that's kind of been my guiding principle, is really strong communication.
Right. Yeah. So, Mayor Zelenko, I didn't give you an opportunity to talk about, you know, the award itself. Obviously, you know, you've been with the league for a long time. You probably knew former Dearborn Mayor Michael Guido, who's just named in his honor. Yes. What does this mean to you to receive this?
It's incredibly humbling and such an honor, especially since I did know Mike Guido. And to receive an award that... I'm going to tear up. To receive a reward in his name is just incredible to me.
Yeah.
You know, he always talked about the Dearborn way, you know, about, you know, just mow your lawn, check in on your neighbor, you know, and promote your community.
Right.
And it's like, well, that's the Burton way, too, you know, so it's kind of neat for all of our communities, you know, to live by those guidelines. And I just know that if Mike was here today, he'd be especially proud to know that he's still being an influence with the league and that we all look at him as an inspiration.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's well said. Very well said.
Absolutely. Well, I kind of want to ask a question that's a little bit different. Obviously, we're honoring the both of you for your contribution to the league and all the things that you do on behalf of Michigan communities, not just your own as examples that you've set for other leaders. But what exactly can you say about the value that the league has provided you as a community leader? I'd love to hear, and I'm sure there are others out there who would love to hear more about the value of being a league member.
Oh, boy. Well, not, don't just be a league member. Get involved with the league. You know, attend not just the conferences, but serve on boards and that sort of thing, because it gives you a lot of insight into behind-the-scenes type of things and more resources. The city of Burton, for instance, was facing a $25 million unfunded liability just in our pension.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, raised my hand and says, Governor Snyder, appoint me to this task force, because use me as an example of what has happened, you know, with communities with the increasingly decrease of revenue support, revenue sharing, you know, and then the market crashes and all of that. And when you don't have the funding, and then MERS becomes privatized, so there's no legislative oversight anymore, and they can change the rules if they want to change the rules, and they did, and they accelerate the amortization schedule. You know, those are all things that with struggling communities like Burton, which is next door to Flint, and we're a disadvantaged community as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are major hurdles for us. So you're cutting staff in order to make ends meet. The league has been a great supporter of helping communities like Burton and like Flint in trying to find the resources, not just the funding, but find the ways, you know, to get involved with that. So, I'm also on the board of directors for the liability and property pool.
Yep.
And that has helped me understand an area of investments and that sort of thing that I wasn't so shiny on.
Yeah.
So that has helped as well.
That's one of the programs of our league to help our members provide insurance members at a discounted rate.
Right, to help us manage our risk.
And you mentioned the task force. The governor appointed you to the task force on responsible retirement reform for local government, and that was quite an experience, I imagine.
It was an experience. I don't think we addressed the decades of revenue sharing cuts enough, you know, in that, but I think that all in all, it was a good compromise that we came to, and it's certainly an issue that we're going to have to visit again in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. And Mark, I know you're currently on our board of trustees, so tell us a little bit about the league experience has been for you.
Oh, it's been just invaluable. You know, the amount of money we pay in dues every year, $15,000 or so, is minuscule in comparison to the benefits we receive from being a member of the MML. Not only implementing best practices in just about every area of our organization, you know, we've learned from the MML, and the staff is so incredibly talented. They're not only dedicated and willing to help out. They really want to see cities succeed statewide. So, you know, the value you get just from the knowledge of the MML staff is invaluable. It truly is. But then not to mention the lobbying effort that the MML does in the state legislature, you know, every day advancing the causes of cities, statewide, communities statewide. That's invaluable. And I'd really like to highlight what I think has been the centerpiece of the MML the last 10 years, and that's the placemaking crusade, you know, implementing placemaking in communities to really advance the state as a whole. Mm-hmm. And we've done that in a really big way in Sterling Heights. And I really think but for the MML's impetus to really focus on that, we probably wouldn't be at the level of placemaking we're at now. Right. So, yeah, it's anyone who's not a member of the MML should be. It's just a lost opportunity if you're not.
And I just realized something when you mentioned placemaking. Your communities are both unique in that you don't have a downtown per se. You don't have it. Right. You have a but you've kind of created a place like around the City Hall, Burton City Hall, which I don't live very far from. You have like a great little municipal complex with some parks and some memorials and some different activities. And Mark, I know you create a lot of some kind of places for people to go and gather and network.
Yeah, we're in the middle of a $55 million placemaking initiative that the voters approved, and it's just super exciting. It's all centered around quality of life. And it's really, it's transformative for the city of Sterling Heights.
Right. And what are some, tell us about your area there that you guys have.
Well, we've been working on our infrastructure is what we're working on, you know, repairing roads the best we can, using highway dollars the best that we can with our matches, and then drinking water. Of course, you've heard of the Flint water crisis. Well, we had a neighborhood that borders the city of Flint that actually had City of Flint infrastructure inside the City of Burton. And when the Flint water crisis happened, we had about 100 residents that were experiencing the same issues that Flint residents were experiencing. So we have been working on replacing that infrastructure, and we did. We installed new water main in that neighborhood, and because the state government, you know, had under the Snyder administration had allocated or committed to some funding to help us with that sort of thing, and all the communities related to the Flint water crisis. And we're working on those reimbursements now through the legislature and the Whitmer administration. So that's good. We have clean drinking water in the city of Burton. Move those folks off the Flint system. And it also alleviated the problem for the city of Flint having to, it was one little small bite out of the elephant that, you know, Flint doesn't have to worry about, so they can concentrate on their residents. Okay. And we've done a $25 million drinking water revolvement fund water infrastructure replacement, and we're just finishing that as well. And we're in our fifth year, finished our fifth year. So working on infrastructure so that we can grow our business base and encourage those businesses to come. And we did lure General Motors, $65 million new plant to Burton.
Wow, great. That's a big deal. Yeah, yeah, both your cities, I think, are fairly large geographically, too, aren't they? I know Burton is very large.
23.5 square miles.
Yeah. Yeah, Sterling Heights is the third largest city geographically, fourth largest in terms of population.
That's amazing.
And likely soon to become the third largest in terms of population.
You keep talking about that. You're waiting for that census. I think you can't wait. You can pass Westland. Is that what it is?
Actually, the city of Warren.
Warren.
The great city of Warren.
I knew it was with a W. I guess I said the wrong one. Is that anything else for you, Emily, that you have for them?
Well, I'm just curious to know, we have a number of programs at the League that encourage new leaders, young leaders, to kind of get into the fold, both with our 1650 project, encouraging more women to become administrators of our local governments, and our newly elected officials academy and our elected officials academy. So I'd be curious to know, since we're honoring you for such a commitment to the League and so many great things that you've contributed, what advice you would give to someone who's maybe new to government, local government, or someone who is young and considering a career in local government?
Well, that's a great question. In Sterling Heights, we're doing whatever we can to advance the cause of diversity in our workplace. We want our organization to reflect the community, and that includes implementing the guiding principles of the 1650 model that the MML established. You know, we want to make sure that there are more female leaders in our organization, and I'm proud to say that a number of our directors now our females, and we're very proud of that. They're wonderful leaders. They're doing a fantastic job, including our finance director, our library director, our community relations director. And we're also working very hard in terms of racial and ethnic diversity in our organization as well. Our police department and fire departments are working on new programs to nurture and build a farm system that will help us grow in those areas as well. So, you know, local government is so rewarding. It's a profession where, you know, the pay is comfortable, the benefits are good, and you make a difference. You know, at the local level, you can see the fruits of your labor. The state is rewarding too, I'm sure, and the federal government, but the local level is where it all happens. You know, it's where the rubber meets the road. And so, you know, if you really want to have a comfortable, gratifying career that challenges you every day, then I would encourage any young person to strongly consider local government.
Absolutely. And what a wonderful thing to talk about is how we can use and be allies to different groups to try to bring them into the fold, into the local government fold, because we do know that governments work better when they mirror the population they represent. So interesting and really commendable, the things that you're doing in Sterling Heights for all of those initiatives.
Yeah, thank you.
That's good. I think not only newly elected or newly involved folks in local mm-hmm. government, it's important equally, I believe, that those of us who have been there a long time go take refresher classes mm-hmm. through the league too, because you know you forget some of these things if you don't use them.
Absolutely.
So those skills in the league is a great place to learn.
And a great place to work, I'll say.
Yeah, it is. It is a good place to stay. Well, with that, we will wrap it up. I know we're actually recording this before our awards gala tonight, so everybody's got to go put on their best outfit. Mark, it looks like you're going to have some work to do.
And I'll be working on my hair. That's going to take me some time.
No, but I got to congratulate, all seriousness, congratulations on the award. We really appreciate all that you've done for the Michigan Municipal League. And again, thank you for doing our podcast, Limelight. Go ahead, I'll let you do the out.
Oh, the out. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been another episode of Limelight and
Michigan Politics, huh?
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.